Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
All right, Brad, I know you really don't want to talk about this, but the other day, BioReconstruct on Twitter posted...
Is this what you're going to open with? This is such a... Okay, go ahead.
I just have to say something.
Okay. Okay,
so the other day, BioReconstruct on Twitter posted some images of the show building for Guardians of the Galaxy in Epcot. And it's... looks like it's dried in and painted. And so just like we, you know, you said and thought, it is painted dark green on the bottom, light green in the middle, and then blue on top to basically blend in with trees and the sky.
Yeah, and what you actually mean by in the middle, on top, we're talking like, let's call it 10%, 5%, and 85%?
Yeah.
Math is hard. So but yeah.
Maybe 15% dark green, 5% light green, and 80% blue.
There you go.
I saw this image and, you know, said like, okay, that looks whatever. It's fine. Like, you're going to see light blue from the park.
No,
I guess that's okay.
You didn't. You did not say that's fine.
No, I did. I did. I did. I did.
Okay.
I did.
Okay.
I promise you that's what I said, because I'm like, you have beaten me down so much about hating this shoebox, like, just in the sight lines of the park, that, you know, if it's going to blend in, you know, with the sky most of the time, that's fine. The thing that gets me about it is how hilarious this, like, just painted the color of trees and the sky is. Like, this is such, I don't know, this just feels like such fifth grader logic. Like, trees are green, paint the bottom of it green. And then the sky is blue, paint the top of it blue. It cracks me up that just how simple it seems.
and yet it's fifth grader logic that has been, what is amusing to me is that you're right. It is fifth grader logic, right? It doesn't take a lot to realize these are, you know, paint it this color, this color, this color. But in order to reach that exact shade of green and that exact shade of blue, that cost Disney millions and millions of dollars, I'm sure.
You think they got Freddie Valspar in there to bring in the paint mixer and really get it just right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And to be consistent and get that perfect Pantone color and everything. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's the funny part. If you want to see the funny part, there is how much it costs to do something so simple on one level.
I think the building, if you look at it from the sky, which is where these pictures were taken, it looks silly, but you're never going to see it from there. You're going to see it over the, you know, over the tops of some trees in Epcot.
Well,
Doesn't excuse the fact that this is a horribly ugly building that you can see from everywhere in the park, but there's at least some humor to me in the fact that it's painted this way.
I guess my thing is, at this point, I'm kind of irritated that your trip is so far away, which I know that irritates you too, but I'm looking forward to discussing, and I'm going to beat this into your head prior to you leave. Not literally. Okay, figuratively, how much you've discussed this, so that when you're in the parks, you will finally recognize all of those buildings that have been sitting there. Like, this is not the first building that this has happened with, and you're finally going to see all those other buildings that, little did you know, have been there the whole time, and you've just been able to ignore them. Oh no,
name,
my friend!
Name
I'm going to make
one.
Sure you can see them.
Name one other show building like this you can see from everywhere in Epcot.
Soarin' from a good chunk of Epcot.
No.
Test Track from a good chunk of Epcot. I mean...
Where can you see the Test Track show building from?
From most of the World Showcase. But you don't notice it because it blends in. You'll see the next time you go. Now, can you see it from absolutely as much of Epcot as you can this building? No, you are right about that. But I feel like we're talking about the difference between 70% and 90% or 80% and 90%, not like 20% and 90%.
I don't know, Brad. I don't know that you can see, one, I think you can see the Soren show building from like maybe 5%. Like, I have never noticed the Soren show building because it's so far away and it's not this tall. And I have never seen Test Track aside from being directly in front of Test Track. I don't know. I think you may be overestimating all the places you can see Test Track from, because the World Showcase is so close to that show building, and the walls and buildings, or the buildings in the World Showcase, are oftentimes very tall. They're often very tall on purpose, you know, to block you from seeing that. But I think you may be overestimating all the places you can see those show buildings from.
I don't know. All that I know is we had this discussion, and then I went to Epcot, and I was like, holy cow, I can see that building. I can see that building. Like, when I specifically started looking for those buildings, I could see them. Maybe you will have better luck than I, but I'm definitely going to point it out to you as much as it got pointed out to me, so that you have the same opportunity to see all these buildings.
I wonder if they'll paint little birds on it, or like a plane.
Only one. Just the one little bird.
That would be fun.
And it'll be like a little hidden Mickey bird. And it will just be a slightly different shade of blue. It's going to be great. It's going to be perfect.
So in keeping with our friend Bio Reconstruct, who still has the most awesome job, I guess, in America.
Is Bio Reconstruct our friend? Because he has not invited me once to go taking pictures with him. And I feel like if he was really my friend, I would get to go hang out and go take some pictures, because that's what I want to go and do.
I just want to go for a ride in his helicopter.
Yeah. Not even to take pictures, right? Just to go see everything from the angles he gets to see them from all the time.
He posted a few pictures of the space restaurant in Epcot, the construction updates. And there's one that's super interesting to me, and we'll make sure to include it in the show notes. And it is, so you've got Mission Space, which for those who don't know, the space restaurant is basically, it's a restaurant that has no real windows, and you're basically in space, and like the quote windows in the restaurant are going to look out into space, probably with some sort of, you know, screen technology the way they have in Mission Space. Not Mission Space, is that right? Yeah.
Spaceship Earth is the ball.
Mission Space. I said it so many times just then that it started to sound wrong. But
hey,
anyway,
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do we know what the name of this restaurant is?
No, it's still just Space Restaurant.
Can we rename it? Can we name it something else? Because I really don't want to have to say Space Restaurant a bunch. That's annoying.
Disney Presents.
Nope. Too many words.
Uranus.
No. Just no.
Neptune's Grubs.
That sounds like a Little Mermaid joint.
Munchies from Mars.
I like it. There you go. That's how about Munchies on Mars? So then we can call it Moms.
Mars needs Moms. I've heard.
Is that a Disney? I don't know that that's a Disney film. Is that a Disney
That's a
film?
Robert Zemeckis film.
Oh.
Which Bobby. What happened, bud?
How the mighty have fought. Okay, now then, back, reeling it back. So, Munchies from Mars. We see new pictures. It's doesn't have any real windows. It's got a really, really, really big screen that goes all the way around it. So, it looks like you're out in space.
Yeah, how are you going to, this image, are you looking at it?
I am.
This image that I'm looking at, is that like trench? Is that going to be the entrance? Because here's my question. Is this restaurant going to be accessed from inside Mission Space, so that you walk into Mission Space and then you walk from the attraction into the restaurant without coming outside? Because I feel like that's really the only way to maintain the suspension of disbelief that you're in space would be some sort of like transition from the Mission Space attraction to the restaurant. And so there's this curved kind of trench in the ground that is probably for the foundation of the restaurant. Like, because I think the concept art said that it was going to be round.
Yes.
But I'm wondering, like, is it just going to be, is the roundness going to be just like a semicircle and you just walk into it from the attraction, like through a short hallway? Or would they have some like tunnel where you're like walking around the restaurant? Like, I don't know, they don't need a queue necessarily because it's a restaurant, but I thought maybe a longer tunnel, like a longer walkway into the attraction, might help with building that narrative a little more. And so I'm wondering if this trench is going to be something where like you actually walk through that trench under the restaurant, and then like it's like a very slightly graded ramp or something that eventually takes you up into the restaurant.
So putting on my construction hat,
I have
so much experience in construction. I have no clue what that trench is for. But yeah, I think that's got more to do with, I don't think that's going to have anything to do with an entrance or an exit. I think that's probably at most some sort of a water feature out in front of the restaurant, perhaps.
Mm.
As much as I would love for them to do something like that. I want them to do something, and I feel like maybe we discussed this one when this news dropped, but what we discussed before and after the podcast and what we discussed on the podcast all becomes one big blur to me. I want to see something like the old Living Seas, right? Where you did the hydrolators. You were going down to Sea Base Alpha in order to enter Sea Base Alpha. Like, and we've discussed this in reference to the Star Wars hotel, right? Like the transition between in that hotel and at Hollywood Studios or at any, you know, out at the bus stop or anything. How do you keep that narrative alive between those two points? And looking, so take, for example, the Star Wars hotel, you know, having the windows that you can look out and the elevators and all that sort of thing. Like, if you had some sort of even some sort of a space elevator, which, you know, has been suggested many times. I've seen, you know, different ideas on how to make that sort of thing work. But if you had some sort of a space elevator where you got in it and it was as though you were leaving Earth, and, you know, thanks to the screens and everything all around you, it appeared that you were then arriving at this place. I think that could serve as a good transition and wouldn't require you to have to go in one show building and out of another building and all that sort of stuff. Plus, I don't know that they want to have to funnel all of the restaurant crowd through Mission Space.
Yeah, it would have to be a special entrance, because normally the queue doesn't really extend outside of Mission Space. So I would wonder if you could, you know, where the person stands.
Oh, it can, but it hasn't. So like where the person stands, that's, you know, the queue can go even well past that. You just don't see it that way nearly as often nowadays.
Right. I wonder if where the person stands, they would ask you, you know, green or orange or restaurant.
Or restaurant. Green, orange, or could you use a little something to eat?
Green, orange, or mom's.
Right.
Right this way.
So here's something I was just suddenly thinking about. I'm like, if you go eat at that restaurant, do you get a fast pass to Mission Space to complete your space experience?
Well, that'd be fun.
Then the other side of that question, if you got the fast pass to that, would it really be wise to go on that attraction after going and eating at mom's?
You're going to want to use the fast pass to ride before as a way to blast off to mom's.
Hey, what if... Okay,
you definitely wouldn't want to ride it after.
Okay, so Mission Space has multiple bays, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if they took like one bay and used that to blast you off to the restaurant?
I would redirect the
exit from that bay directly into the restaurant.
I would have concerns about the throughput.
Oh, come on, man. If it's, they, you don't need,
Also, walk-ins would be a concern.
They're not going to turn tables that fast, and you don't have to do it. But if you want to, you can be flown to your restaurant.
What would you say to them if you didn't? I want to be transported.
Yes, yes,
and
please.
You stand on a little circle on the ground for 2 seconds, and you say, okay, you're here.
But then they, yeah, but then they can't do that. What is the Star Wars version of a transporter? Because Disney doesn't own the rights to Star Trek yet, I think?
No, they do not.
Okay.
CBS owns the rights to Star Trek.
Okay, so they won't own that for at least a few more years. What's the Star Wars version?
You don't, Lightspeed. Hyperdrive. You don't. There is no.
Yeah, there is no instant transmission, is there? Wow. When did this become the Star Wars pod? Anyway,
nerds.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's called the. I'm sorry. I don't want to see the magic happen. I just want to go eat.
Welcome to Pushing Your Glasses Up Your Nose podcast.
That's the other option, or you can be flown to your restaurant. All of these things said, it's probably going to be you walk in a door. And then, you know, that's a little sad. But I can dream. I can hope that it would be one of those things. But no, I don't think that trench is going to have anything to do with it. As interesting as that idea does sound to me, as you walk through the hyper tunnel to your to your space restaurant.
I do honestly think the entrance is going to go through Mission Space, though. I think they'll probably have... So they'll probably cut a new hole in the side of the Mission Space building, or something, and put, you know, like a marquee above it, you know, whatever the restaurant's name ends up being. And you'll just walk through that door and they'll handle the, you know, quote, getting you there that way. But I would bet that the entrance to this restaurant's going to go through at least the facade of Mission Space. Just
yes.
Because they're so close to Mission Space that they already have the space theming there. Like, you're already in the mindset of I'm going to space. So it makes sense to just put you through that attraction already. And they've got plenty of queue to, they could, you know, just take a little bit away if they need to.
Well, they already did, right? So that is the old outdoor queue for Mission Space, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, there used to be a huge outdoor queue along the side of Mission Space.
Huh.
Where that restaurant is now.
I did not know that. I've never waited outside for Mission Space.
So again, way back in the day when Mission Space was more popular, there was an outdoor queue out there. That's where the I want to say Compaq at the time. They actually had a little like store built it, but it wasn't a store because it didn't sell stuff.
No, I remember that. I remember it was I think it was
because it
after
was,
HP bought Compaq, because I think it was HP, but they had all like Compaq logos everywhere,
right?
So maybe it was Compaq and then HP bought them and changed some of the logos to HP. But I do remember, like, I think it, when I went, you couldn't go into that store anymore, or at least there was something inside of Mission Space in the queue that you couldn't go into anymore, but it still was branded Compaq.
Yeah, and again, it wasn't a huge chunk of queue, so I don't think that this is taking up a lot of that space or anything, but I do believe that's where that was. So, yeah, I guess from that perspective... You know what? Actually, looking at it more closely, no, I think that's actually what's sitting right in front of it. But you could, so are they going to take that old Compaq HP building and use that to turn it to the entrance?
maybe so. Yeah. I mean, again, that would be something that's already there.
Right. And could very easily tie in and gives you a nice little walkway and is separated from everything. So, yeah, they've got some options there, but I don't think any of those options. Yeah, I think that trench is just some construction. I really want to be wrong about that, though. I really want that
no,
to be something
I
super cool.
I don't think
cool.
You are. I think that trench is the foundation. I think I'm wrong, unfortunately, as much as I hate to admit it. I'm a big idiot.
Well, You wanted to believe, man.
I do, man.
You wanted to believe so badly, and there's nothing wrong with that.
This restaurant sits comfortably in the Star Wars Hotel section of my brain. The less so, obviously, but of like, they've promised this experience that if they can pull off, I'm in. But it's, I don't know, it's like hard to fathom what this is going to be like. You know, if it's truly a restaurant with no outside windows that has space, like an immersive space environment, if this thing mm-hmm. turns out, and probably even if it doesn't, but if this thing turns out to be really good and it's open in November, we'll go and eat there. You know, I would think, unless like the reviews come back and say like, this is the worst food and it's the worst restaurant, don't even bother, I think we'll probably eat there because.
Do you want to know a secret?
What?
Let me just give you a secret. The reviews could come back that it is the worst restaurant, has the worst food. You're still going to go eat there once because you're just going to want to see it for yourself.
Yeah, but with the no park hoppers policy.
Mm.
There's gonna be some, especially with Epcot, there's gonna be some probably pruning back of all the restaurants we want to eat at.
Oh, dude, you got some rough choices coming.
I know. We haven't had that discussion yet because we don't have to make dining reservations for a while. But yeah, it's gonna be to say like, how many days do we want to spend at Epcot? And then
all of them,
you go for one or two restaurants per day at Epcot. I don't know. It's weird. It's a thing that I've never had to really consider, because eating is a big part of my Disney experience.
Eating should be a big part of. Well, you know what though? Here's what's weird. I hear so many people talking about the quality of Disney food, which tells me that maybe I just haven't had really good food, because I've always been. Well, no, not always. Because I've had some of those burgers. Sometimes. By and large, I've been really happy with the food that I've gotten at Disney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I mean, I don't know what people are like talking about, really. Like, for someone to say that the quality of food at, I was going to say Victoria and Albert's, but I've never eaten there. But at California Grill or Le Cellier, like, for them to say that the quality of food at those places is bad, like, I don't know what you're talking about.
And you know? Sometimes I wonder, is it, I don't think that maybe they're saying it's bad, but maybe they're trying to compare it to, I don't know, Ruth and Chris, you know, insert steakhouse here.
Something that, moderately priced outside of Disney property.
Right. But I think the thing is, like, I'm not holding it to that high of a standard. It's still, you know, it's like Le Cellier is definitely way better than going to an Outback to me. Yeah. You know, and that's kind of where I hold it in this. Well, like, well, it's not like the finest steakhouse, but it's a really, right, really good steak.
Yeah, and do you take the ambiance into account? Like, if you're just talking about the food, I mean, you could probably go to Canada and get better poutine too. But
oh, you could.
This is Florida.
Oh, you could.
This is Central Florida. Poutine. We're not gonna, you know, you can't judge the poutine based on how good poutine in Canada is. But it's like Le Cellier. You walk down into the cellar, and it's beautiful, and the food is really good, in my opinion. And you get this poutine that you really can't get anywhere. There's a lot of food at Le Cellier that you just can't, you don't find in America. You know, the poutine for one.
Wait. In our part of America, in the South.
Sure.
You can't get poutine.
Okay, yes.
You Wisconsinians, I'm sure, can eat your fill of poutine.
Your cheese curds are flowing like a waterfall. You
like
got a
milk.
Cheese curd waterfall, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, in California Grill, for people to say, you know, the food, whatever, you know, like, oh, I paid, you know, the steak wasn't that good. But it's like, one, the steak probably was pretty good, in my opinion. But also, like, you're overlooking the Magic Kingdom. and you're on top of a hotel and the place is beautiful. And by and large, you're going to have a really good experience with whoever is your waiter. And so, I don't know. I mean, I don't get the whole, like, I don't get the hate for Disney fine dining. I'll hate on the quick service hamburger all day. I mean, that's not a good hamburger. I don't think anybody would say that the hamburger at Cosmic Rays Starlight Cafe is a gourmet hamburger. But you need to set your expectations. You know, like, you can't just expect Wagyu beef and, you know, like, just, you can't expect this great gourmet hamburger at a place that's pumping out 10 million hamburgers an hour for people trying to have a quick lunch.
Yeah, yeah. And it's sad. But all that I know now is I am on Amazon right now. We might want to go ahead and end the show because I'm trying to find the best Dillon cheese curds because now I really got to have me some poutine.
Oh, Brad, you don't want no internet cheese curds, bud.
I got to get it somehow.
Well, before Brad gets food poisoning, I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.